on the mountain of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It's going to be a different kind of teaching. John chapter 4. Okay, so you know the story. Jesus met this woman at the well. And the disciples of Jesus already went to buy food. So Jesus himself just starts and he saw a beautiful damsel. Amen. Amen. So Jesus had women in his life. But just to explain it very well. So he saw a beautiful damsel. I don't know if she's beautiful. Verse 7. So this was the city of Samaria. Jesus was going to Galilee. So you know the geography, right? Alright. So there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. We come to draw. Then Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going to buy meat. Meat means food. Then said the woman of Samaria unto me. Please look at the Bible. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, you are asking me of drink? And I'm from Samaria. Don't you know that the Jews and the Samaria don't have any link? We don't have deals. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gifts of God, or if you know the gifts of God, and the person that is asking you for drink, that would have asked him and would have given you living water. It reminds me of something that happened to me when I was in boarding house. You know, I didn't know this guy was the son of the commissioner. He was the son of the commissioner in Lagos at that time. And who am I? The son of my father. Amen? And so, there's something you call it boarding house, you do partnership. I know a lot of people are scared of boarding house now because of recent happenings, so it's fine. So there's something called partnership, meaning that you bring your provision, I bring my provision. Provision are our beverages, tea, biscuits, and all of that. So we say, we first take your own. Then, when your own is finished, we now take my own. So, I had, you knew about it, right? Did you do it? No, that's selfish. So I had one guy, so, now, this guy, this son of commissioner came to me and said, we should do it, but I didn't know that. I didn't know it was the gift of God. So, I said no. I said no because of what happened in the previous term, where I gave my bonvita as a charisma. I gave my bonvita so that we would take the guy's bonvita. When it's now time to take his own, now that his mom will talk. When we are taking my own with Gary, with everything, your mom does not know that you are taking bonvita. So I didn't get it. I think I spoke to you before. I went to steal the bonvita. I said, don't worry. Wait, after this day, your mom will now say we should take it at me. No problem. But me, I want to take tea. So I went to pour sand inside this. So I thought that every night, he will now stretch his hand. And be there. I was at lower bunk, I was at the upper bunk. So I know that he will stretch his hand to his wardrobe, because it's just by the wardrobe. He's not taking it. He'll be munching it. But he cannot take it during the day. But night comes when no man can walk. So he will now take it at night. So I said, oh fine. Now I know this guy. So I went to replace the bonvita with sand. Then I put it inside paper. So me, I was the one munching that night. So as usual, like Samson said, I will go out as before. So he reached out. And then, yes, I said, what is happening? He could not say. He could not say he took bonvita, but it's sand. And he cannot ask me that how did bonvita become sand? Because I will ask, have you cut it? He said, we are not cutting it. So, the son of the commissioner came to me the next time and said, let's do it. If I knew that he had like eight, he that I brought just one. If I knew that he had like eight, I would have, So that was just saying, he said, if you knew the gift of God, what I'm going to give you is beyond water. What I'm going to give you is beyond water. He says, if you knew the gift of God and he that asked you to give him water, I would have given you living water. Then the woman said,
You don't even have anything to draw from the well. The well is deep. So where will you now get this living water? Verse 12. So she started asking Jesus questions. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus said unto her, of course, I know Jacob. Whosoever drinks of this water will thirst, whether it is Jacob or you, they will thirst again. Verse 14. But whosoever drinks of the water I shall give shall never thirst. But the water I shall give shall be in him a well of water, springing up to everlasting life. Meaning that whatever you receive, you now have abundance. Whatever I give. The woman said, give me this water, so that I don't have to thirst or come to draw again. Then Jesus said unto her, go and call your husband. I've always wondered why this question. Go and call your husband. Then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Then Jesus said, it's true what you said. You don't have a husband. You don't have a husband. I think some people, should be, they should quote this to place for them. Thou hast said well, you don't have a boyfriend. For thou hast five husbands. Why am I in a joking mood this morning? Well, there are five husbands, and the person that is in your house now is not even your husband. The woman said, I perceive you are a prophet. You are getting them. I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship, when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. For you worship what you don't know. We know what we worship. For salvation came from the Jews. Now, when we say salvation is of the Jews, I've explained this before in our teaching, Salvation through Faith in Christ, where some have wrongly said that salvation is of the Jews. That means that only the Jews can be saved. And I think that is wrong, because when you look at the original language, it says, salvation came from the Jews, which is actually that the Savior came from the Jews. That makes sense? So Jesus is trying to establish something that, see, the Savior came from the Jews, which we eventually say he is the one. So he says, salvation, I think we taught that in Salvation through Faith, there is two. Alright, so for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father, not in any mountain, but in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that will worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You must have heard that scripture over and over again. God is spirit. And those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what led this conversation? Give me water. I can't give you water. You are a Jew. He said, if you know me, you will give me water. And I will give you much more than water. He said, you don't have, you know Doro? Then you remember Doro. I don't even know Doro. What was it now? You know Robber? That you throw that away. I hate doing that activity. Except it's really interesting when the water is almost at your level. Then you can throw it. And it's such a boring activity. Alright, so. I once fell inside the well. But then that story for another day. Ball entered. I said, well cannot take ball. You know the first thought that came to mind? Is it not someone that dug it? Say when you are digging, when they have water. No one knows how to bring. And then someone that dug it, it didn't perish. So I will just enter and come back. Oh, no. Story for another day. So, then Jesus said, go and call your husband. Let me give both of you the water. And he said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, yeah, by revelation I know that you have had five. And the person who you are in your who is in your house right now is not even your husband. But he said, you are a prophet. How are you a prophet? How did you know this? And Jesus said, then the woman just said, okay, if you're a prophet, let me quickly ask. Our own father said we must worship on this mountain, which is Jacob.
You say Jerusalem is the place of worship. Yes, what are you saying? The hour is coming. Now, when you say hour does not mean 1 hour. I think we saw that before, right? Hour could be a day. Hour could be a lifetime. For example, in John chapter 2, when Jesus went to the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, and the wine finished, and he asked them to go fetch water. He said, when you fetch water, put it inside the glass, put it inside the stuff, and start serving it. Because that was what the mother said. And when the mother gave a referral letter to Jesus, Jesus said, why are you disturbing me? For my hour has not come. Now that word hour is the time of his death and resurrection. I think we taught that in the book of John, when we were looking at, explaining the book of John, I mean, the gospel according to John. The hour is the time of his death. So, when you see words like that in the Bible, don't just start flying. Hour does not mean 1 hour, it doesn't mean 2 hours. Hour could be 7 days. Hour could be someone's from death to death. Could be the hour of his life. Alright? So, he says the hour is coming, which you know that is the resurrection, right? Right? Alright. The hour is coming when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I've heard a lot of people explain this before. Let's first look at the word worship. Again, we are looking at on the mountain of the Lord. Abby? The word worship is the word proskuneo. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. I have a friend that used to hold proskunitis concert. That is a worshipers concert. And I used to play the keyboard there. Very nice. We used to sing nice songs. What is this place that is close to UI? That's not from E. Abuwo? Alright, so, proskuneo. Proskuneo means, you know, when you kiss like a dog licking his master. How many of you have dogs? How many of you have dogs? Raise your hand now. You have dogs, I know. Raise your hand. Abi has died. That's right. Yeah. Like that. So you like dogs too much. Okay. But the way a dog licks his master, right? Yeah, that is. He's paying respect. That someone ever told you that you are licking, fight licking his boots. Right? Let's say, you know, someone shows up and you are doing, yes sir. That is worship. To squat, to prostrate in reverence. That is worship. That is worship. So, worship does not mean you are singing. You know, in this days, we think that worship is, I'm singing. So, when he says, you now worship Father in spirit, you think he's saying, I'm singing in the spirit. No. Worship means to revere, to honor. Alright? So, to prostrate yourself in homage. To put yourself under. So we worship God in spirit. So how do we worship God in the resurrection? That would be as we serve. So songs are not the primary element of worship. Let me say it again. Singing is not primarily worship. I know maybe not in glorious house church, definitely. But when you were younger, we used to lead praise and worship. Personally, I used to lead praise and worship. And I was very good though. Was I not good? I could dance. You don't know anything. I will lead praise and worship from keyboard. The first one. Very a true worshipper, like me. You know, so you start with the slow one. In the formula, you start with the slow one, you go to the fast, and you end with the slow. Anything other than that is LSD. So you start with ba 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 na na. That's right. That's how it starts upping the tempo. You know, some people already have a formula of the songs that we transit to the first one. Give me an example. You used to lead worship. No, arise, no. No, arise does not go jare.
Jehovah, you are the most high.
Jehovah. Sorry, everybody just get possessed.
Jehovah, you are the most high.
And your church already knows you. There are other guys. You don't put that again.
Hey, you.
Who told you was there like that? So we call that worship. The slow one is worship. The fast one is praise. Whoever gave that formula to you should be punished. Actually, when we say, give me one of our psalms.
Glorious in praise, Lord of every day, the unended one.
Don't sing it again.
Mighty is your name, Wishes of days, the uncreated one.
When you sing that song, you is praise. And it's praise of 2-4, time signature. Right?
Glorious in praise, head of every day.
And you thought that would be worship, that's not praise. And then you have missed what praise and worship is. You know, when you carry your Bible and you go to preach, that's actually worship. When you say you're going for prayer meeting and you are praying, that is the worship of God. Oh, what of when I am singing and I'm blessing His name? That is also worship. But you must not see worship as primary songs. You must see obedience to God's word as worship. So the first place where we worship is at salvation. Are you listening this morning? So our salvation is the first worship where we put ourselves under for the Lord, where we now pay homage to the Lord. So salvation is worship. Say for salvation. Come on, salvation is worship. So it says, the true worshippers, or they worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The word truth there is the word aletheia, which means reality. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. We saw this before, I think. There's no way we'll not have thought it before. Abi? A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. That is the reality. So Jesus saying the reality of worship would be in the spirit. So he said worship would now be in spirit and truth, means that the reality of worship would be in the spirit, not on the mountains. So how do you know? In that hour, reality of worship, the truth about worship would be that it will be in the spirit. Are you listening there? Alright. So, upon the resurrection, true worshippers will be in the spirit. Interesting. But she said something that is vital. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. So, as a proper Bible student, when you hear that, what will you say? Why? Right? Why? She has pointed out something very vital. That the Jewish fathers, or Jacob and his children, his prodigies, worshipped on the mountain. Which is very true. I need you to listen this morning. That's why a lot of people don't understand a lot of things, because they don't learn to listen. You go to church and you are absent, yet you are seated. And you see Christians that can watch movies for 2 hours. You see the asking, is there part 2? Part 7. I know you are so good in watching season movies. Season 1 to season 7. Odewoto. Where did you get the time? And back to back, not by listening one in a year. what season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, and if we say finish Genesis, you like, ah, Pastor, is that you don't know how many chapters it has? I be about that 11, so. But you can watch season 1 to 7. It is your sub, take it home. I sub you. Amen. So, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Why did they worship on mountains? Don't forget, when I see a fact or an information, I must find out why. So she makes a very vital mention of mountains. Why did they worship God on mountains? Don't forget, I have taught you before, I think when we were looking at Galatians, right? That we can add people as theology. I mean, Galatians are Ephesians. We can have people as theology. Cain and Abel is a teaching. I think they are not people. I think they are not real persons. But they are also teaching. In fact, Jude says, don't follow the way of Cain. So the way of Cain becomes, what do they call it now? A framework. It becomes an example. So Cain is a theology. How about Esau? Don't be profane. Don't be a godless person like Esau. Room for a morsel of food. So it is birthright. And he started using, he now calls that, he calls Esau profane, godless. You would have not thought that, it's not that he just sold one food, exchange. No. He says, what he let go was God's heritage. Because by right, every firstborn ought to be the priest. You ought to hand over the priesthood and the message of salvation to your firstborn. And that's why firstborns have the double portion. What is a double portion is, if you are a father and you have 10 sons, right? You are going to divide your land to 11. The firstborn is going to get 2. The others are going to get 1, 1, 1. So when you say double portion of the anointing, it's for the firstborn. But Esau, because of food, which can be because of money, because of marriage, because of sex, because of career, Esau, because of all of that, let go of the priesthood. The writer of the priesthood says, that is a godless person. They now use it as an example. Don't be godless like Esau. So you can have people as theology, as a teacher. Come on, are you there? Yeah. What about Isaac and Ishmael? We are brethren. We are not the sons of the bondwoman, but the sons of the free. Israel, the free of God. So he uses Isaac as a new creation. Where God's plan and purpose is fulfilled. Where God's promise is fulfilled. Ishmael for the work of the flesh. So you can have people as a teaching. And that only happens when you study the Bible and you read it through. Can we have places as teachers? Eh? I've taught you before. Of course, if you are a very good Bible student, you will know that Egypt, number one, Egypt is a teacher. I'm not talking about the present day Egypt where you have Mosala. Egypt was symbolic of that place where God's word is rebelled against. Let my people go. No. Egypt is that place where they serve other gods. So Egypt is a theology. God will now tell Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. So Egypt is a teaching. What about Canaan? It's a teaching for the fulfillment of God's promise. You know, when they go to Canaan, just what I told them. Now that we are here, let me tell you the truth. We have still not entered into the rest. If it was you, someone came to call you from Egypt and said, we are getting to the rest. And you have traveled for 40 years. I can tell you, was Nigerian. After 40 years, you know, God did. As you are about to do Thanksgiving, and say, hey, everybody praise the Lord now. We pray. The leader said, confession time. Yes, sir. We are not in his rest. He said, they yet remain in rest. So Canaan was meant to be a teaching of how God rescues from the world to his spirit. To a place where we can serve him. From Egypt to Canaan. From the flesh to the spirit. From sin to salvation. But Canaan as a land itself was just another land. Were there no people they met there? Were they in God's rest? Come on. Were there no people they met there? So you can now place it as theology. Zion. Jerusalem. Can we also have object as theology? How about animals? I talked to animals, right? Serpents. Eh? How did this happen in the Genesis? I think, oh, there was really a serpent. How can a serpent become to human being? So it's by revelation. But the man is not revelation, but the serpent is revelation. Moses used serpent to tell us about the devil. And you see that all over the scriptures. So Jesus will tell you, you are going to tread upon serpents and scorpions. You are going to take up the work of the serpent. Does it make sense? In fact, in Revelation, it now says, you see that old serpent? It will be destroyed. Revelation 20. It will be destroyed. So, again, he's using an animal as a theology. As a dog returns to his vomit. Why do you think dogs are used for adultery? Who of them are dogs? I thought this before now, Abby. How that dogs, I don't know. I don't think they are saints. You can have another animal, like a cat. So, oh God. I don't like anyone. At a cat. At a dog. At a raining cat and dog. I told you my favorite pet. Abby? Fried turkey. Not turkey. Fried turkey is my favorite animal. It used to be fried chicken, but I'm tired of chicken. Fried turkey. Amen? That's a good thing you keep as pets. Not a dog. There's another one. You know your place that eats dogs? Huh? Okay. Just to know. So you can have animals as theology. And that's why it's very unwise to say you should be wise as serpents. Because the wisdom of the serpent is an evil wisdom. It's a wisdom that counters the wisdom of God. So you can have things as theology. I told you about Jordan, right? The river Jordan. The river Jordan. There's a reason why John is baptizing people in Jordan. He actually has to leave to go to the river so he can get to Jordan for you to come to Jordan and come back. Because Jordan was the place they passed before they entered the promised land. So Jordan will be to tell you that the redemption is near. It's a theology. Again, all this is I'm just saying in 2 minutes, 1 minute. We've taught them proper. So when you think Jordan as an Israelite, the first thing you think about is the rest is to come. We are entering into our rest. And that's why when God was going to tell Moses that he was not going to enter the Canaan, he asked him to go to the figure, and he says, can you see Jordan, right? Look over Jordan. You will not enter that land. So Jordan precedes the Savior. And that's why John was saying, he that is going to make the way for the Lord, prepare the way for the Lord, is going to baptize you in Jordan. Is it making sense now? So it's not just any random river. That should be Jordan. And so we need to look at why do they now worship on mountains? Because it will have a significance. Why mountains? I know people still go to mountains today. Amen? Amen? I personally like going to mountains. There's no mountain in Lagos though. They turn everything to company. Shame. Lagos, you go down in history as a city with no mountain. But you know, we are on the mountain of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, why mountains? Now, the tricky thing about this is, now there's how do you do Bible study? There's what we call protology. which is the study of the first things. Protology. You observe it in PROTOLOGY before I see something else in your notes. PROTOLOGY. Protology. The study of the first things. You observe that in most of our teachings, right? Where we say something, we look at something in Matthew, and then we go to Genesis. You must observe that. We keep going back to Genesis. Because the first mention of everything is too vital. We told you that, I've already told you before, that Moses is the Genesis of writings. This teaching should not be boring to you. It's some study. Alright, so, in protology, you study the first things. For example, what Moses called death. Moses' death, listen very well, is a death that they died and they were still alive. He said they would die and they died and we are still seeing them. It shows you that the true death is not the cessation of breath. When a man leaves this earth and leaves his mortal body, that is a playful kind of death. I know it hurts. I know it pains. I know it's not something we are happy with, but it's not that deep. Hallelujah. The moment you know, you are not scared of death. A lot of Christians are scared to die. Why? No one says, is that to die is gain? Like, you want to gain. you want to gain Christ. You have to speak in tongues and interpret. You want to now see, say, you're going to die. Because when you leave this body, you are with the Lord. Amen. He says, to leave this body and to be with the Lord, or to be with you guys, which one? Why is one considering death? I say, it's hard. Christian, this is not hard. It's a big deal to be with you, with you, my brother. I'm ready with the Lord, he's in me. Paul said, to die, for me is gain, to live is for you. Because when you look at the pathology of death, it is for the man without Christ. And that's why you see, the epistles keep saying that those who are in Christ, they have gone to sleep. Because they will live forever. So, that is the pathology of death. The pathology of life is also to be with the Savior forever. You eat of the tree of life. Come on, you listen this morning. So, if we look at the pathology, we might necessarily not see mountains. Because in Genesis 1-3, there is no mention of a mountain at all. At all. So, why mountains? But if we read through the entire scriptures, and when I say scripture, I'm talking about Genesis to Malachi now. If you read through the entire scriptures, we will see that Ezekiel called Eden a mountain. That garden of the Lord. Don't forget, Moses will pick a literal place they know. Eden is not spiritual. I have the sea, they see Eden. It's not spiritual, it's a place. You know, you have Galilee, Jerusalem, what else? Nigeria. Akure? Eden is a place. If you go there now, don't think that you don't see any tree of life. Because the tree of life was a message. Ezekiel helped us to understand that Eden was on a mountain. And it makes sense because in Genesis 2, you now discover that there were rivers that flow or that flew, carefully, right? There were rivers that were flowing from one source, four rivers from one source, and that's typical of mountains. But let's do that for today. In Ezekiel 34, remember that we're studying on the mountain of the Lord. Ezekiel 34. Are you learning something this morning?
verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seek out his flock in the day, is among the sheep that are scattered. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out of the people, and gather them from the countries. Are you there? I gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. Can we verse 14 to 16 together? And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their food be, and they shall lie in the good food and a fast pasture. Shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel? I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring it driven away. Now, just hold that somewhere. I will feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountains of Israel, shall their foes be. In chapter 28, Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of the tablet of the pipes are prepared in thee, created. Thou anointed cherub that was covered, it's talking about Lucifer. Abi? The Tyrus king. Abi? Abi now? We studied this in a... I can't remember the teacher. Alright. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have said this too. Thou were upon the holy mountain of God. That walk up and down the midst of the stones of fire that was perfect in your ways from the day you are created till iniquity was found in you. By the mercy of your merchandise, thou hast filled thee with violence, and thou hast sinned before I cast thee out of the profane mountain of the Lord. Again, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Again, an earthly king, Tyrus, who was very typical of the devil. I would say the devil also was cast out of the garden of the Lord. Right? That serpent was cursed. He calls it from the high mountain of the Lord. So, Ezekiel helps us understand that Eden, that Moses used as the garden of the Lord, was a mountain. Not necessarily because it's special, just an high place. Does that make sense? Just an high place. Which I said, of course, the rivers attest to that. Of course, after the fall, God now sent the serpent away from the garden. In Moses' story. Away from that mountain. Now, we might not have sufficient evidence for all of these ones. That Eden was a mountain. This one. The only evidence are the things I pointed out to you. And I'll just stop there. Right? I just need to study. Don't force it. Don't try and make your point. Don't do that. We have presented our evidence that Eden very likely was a high mountain. Very likely. But you know the ones that we know that are mountains. After the fall of man, God was now going to start his redemptive plan. How he was going to call back man to himself. And he started out with one man. Jesus came. Abraham. Good. Abraham. And he called out Abraham upon a mountain. In Genesis 22, Abraham saw the Lord. In Genesis 22, Abraham took Isaac, his son. He said, we are going to worship. Remember that story? No, 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 come back from that woman. Have you? Our father worshipped God on this mountain. So Abraham took Isaac. A very funny story. Because if it was your child, what would you have done? Or you are the child. In fact, I still ask my dad till today that why did you want it to happen? Because he wanted me to go to command. I mean, that was far back as 2000. Why did you go to command?
Why did you want that to happen?
You know the day I said, nothing can take me to this school. Except you are going to kill me. We went to write the exam. And they flogged the parents. They said you should not pass a particular. So the woman was trying to give the child, I think, a drink, to quickly drink. Because we are still waiting to enter. So the woman passed. And the soldier brought out Blala. Wow, wow. Ah, what I know is that they used to report teachers to parents. They are already calling the parents that they report to. I said, this is a logo. So I used to ask my dad, why did you want me to go to school? Why? What was in your heart? To kill me? So much more Isaac. The father took it. I said, we are going to worship God. He said, this is not the first time. We have been doing this before. He said, thank God you know. So let's go. So you are going to be servants, everything. They've been worshiping before. There's nothing in Isaac. He just looked around, was conscious of the environment. Said, Pops, yes, my son. With the nice green. Yes, my son. Said, don't smile. Don't smile. I can see the wood. I can see the wool. I can see what will make the fire. But where will the fire be on? Exactly. Where is the offering? Then Abraham said, when we get to the mount, the Lord will provide himself. So they got there, and the Lord showed himself. And Abraham called the place the mount, which is Mount Moriah, right? Genesis 22, 1 to 14. Mount Moriah, he now calls the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is seen. Where the Lord is seen, I see the Lord. So, upon Mount Moriah, which you will now discover that was the place Solomon built his temple. Funny enough. Solomon and Eternal built the temple of that mountain in 2 Corinthians 3. So, Mount Moriah, God revealed his redemptive plan to Abraham. That see, I will sacrifice myself for man. That was on Mount Moriah. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Alright. So, number two place. After Abraham, the next prophet that is very obvious is who again? After Abraham. Moses. God continued his redemptive plan. Then he called out Moses on the holy ground. Exodus 3. And guess where he called out Moses from? On Mount Horeb. On Mount Horeb. Exodus 3. Verse 1 to 2. Which is for God to tell Moses that he's going to save his people from the slavery of sin. Don't forget, Egypt is sin. Abi? From the slavery that is in the world. So we have two places now. Forget Eden. That was just to mention. Mount Moriah, where Solomon actually built the temple, right? In fact, in the entire Old Testament, temples were built upon mountains. Upon high grounds. I've talked this before. Because they were figurative of heaven. Somewhere that is far beyond the earth. Somewhere that is not on our own level. So you use mountains for where God is. We shall ascend over you. Right? We will go up to God. We will ascend over you. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Why? Because the Lord is upon his holy mountain. So they use mountains to show that, see, we are here, God is here. Is it making sense? So, temples were built on mountains, just like Solomon's. So, on Mount Horeb, nobody ever got to Moses on that mount. He said, this will be a memorial for you, right? You will worship me on this mountain. Let's look at Exodus 3. We did a teaching recently on that. This is holy ground.
Verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Exodus 3 verse 1. The priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Okay? Then God told him, well, I've heard all of that, all of that, all of that. Then verse 12. Exodus 3, 12. And he said, certainly I will be with you as you go to Pharaoh. And this shall be a token for you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall set God upon this mountain. So, again, Moses also led Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. He gave them all the commandments from Sinai, gave them the instructions from God from Sinai at the foot of the mountain. So, from there they started building temples on mountains. So, whenever you say temple, of course, temple means God is here. Right? This is where God is. So they started building that on mountains. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, concerning what he saw with Judah and Jerusalem. Can we verse 2 together? Isaiah 2 2. Once more. And that's a few. I'll wait for you. Isaiah 2 2. Are you there now? Want to go? And it shall come to pass in the last days. And the man of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of mountains. And shall be established above the east. And the nations shall flow in it. Which is, this is our main text, but we're still going there. So again, they started building temples upon mountains. So, mountains were archetypes to where God's plan is communicated. Like that holy ground, like that Moriah, where God's plan is communicated. Those are mountains. It's an holy place. We shall ascend up to the hills, to that holy place of the Lord. So where God is seen, where God is heard. Did Abraham see and hear God on Moriah? Come on. Did Abraham see and hear God on Moriah? Good. Did Moses see and hear God on Horeb? Eh? Alright. Can we have one more prophet? Eh? One of the greatest. Elijah, 4 Kings. One of the greatest. Okay, no. Elijah. I always like Elijah close to the truth. January, I will leave him alone. But right now, he's my favorite prophet. For the next 1 month. First Kings 19. That alone is a practice. It's a theology. First Kings 19. Abraham and Elijah were running from, you understand? From Jezebel. That was killing all the prophets of Israel. Then Elijah ran to God. In verse 9. Let's start from verse 9. Yeah. And he came there unto a cave and lodged. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars, and they've slain your prophets with the sword. And only I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth. So God said to him, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. And broke the rocks, they broke in pieces the rocks of the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And afterward, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was it what? A still small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his mantle, his face in his mantle, and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him and said, what do you do here, Elijah? And he said it again, and the Lord told him, don't fear, I see 7,000 more prophets
and all that. But again, this Elijah's prophet with the Lord, it happened where? On the mountain. But observe something. What did God tell him on that mountain? Verse 15. First Kings 19:15. And the Lord said unto him, now return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. Damascus. That's another theology. But we'll leave that for today. Go back to Damascus. When you come, anoint Azael to be king over Syria. So, God is giving instructions upon the mountain. Go and anoint someone. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you will anoint the king over Israel. So, you anoint the king of Syria, you anoint the king of Israel, and Elisha, verse 16, anointing is the son of Shaphat of the Abel-Meholah. Shall thou anoint to be the prophet in your own stead, in your room, in your stead, in your space? And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Azariah, Jehu shall slay. And he that escaped the sword of Jehu, Elisha will what? Slay. Yet I have left myself 7,000 prophets who have not bowed to Baal. Not every mouth have kissed Baal. Amen. So God gave Elijah 3 different people that will fulfill his task. Said, when you leave this place, go to Damascus. You will anoint Azariah, king over Syria. Then you anoint Jehu, king over Israel. Then you anoint Elisha to be your own prophet in your own place. So that anyone who escaped the sword of Azariah will not escape the sword of Jehu. Anyone who escaped the sword of earthly kings will not escape the sword of Elisha. Is that not a word of wisdom? Is that not telling you what's to come? Same thing we see with Moriah. Same thing we see with Sinai. Same thing we see with Oren. God was telling Moses everything that happened in Egypt. And he was saying, he said, when you see Pharaoh, tell him let my people go. The first thing is that he would ask himself. He would say no. So do you think Moses was surprised when Pharaoh said no at first? He had inside information. He knew he was going to say no. What did God say you are going to do again? So you see this staff, you now cast it. Hallelujah. Those are the experiences of the mountain or on the mountain. So why another prophet have just gone to Pharaoh and said, let my people go? And Pharaoh said no. I'm saying, it's God. It's God that says you should let them go. Why you saying no? Who say no? When Pharaoh said no, Moses said, as expected. Next on the agenda is to cast my staff. So he said, what is this? We do this every day. They do this to entertain me. Staff. 3 magicians there. Make it 7. Let's show you that everybody can do it. No. Moses has forgotten that this is Egypt. Those who now cast their own thing. Rock. Everybody, you know. Serpent pass serpent. Amen. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, and we have seen that on that mount, God is saved and God is dead. Good. So, mountains are no, they have no small significance at all. It symbolizes the exalted nature of God's dwelling. The exalted nature of God's dwelling. Again, there's a way not to read the Bible. I don't say that every time you now see mountain, say, God is there. This one, we see stand, mountains are broken down. Amen. Amen. Mark 11:23 says, you are going to tell the mountain, be moved, be cast into the sea. Right? So it's not like you now say, every mountain, God speak. God does not speak on the mountain of those obstacles to the gospel. Amen. Amen. Alright, so mountains are very, very significant. Temples are built on mountains. God gives his instruction on mountains. He tells us what will happen on mountains. Jesus himself, the ministry of Jesus began on a mountain. In that Matthew 4, Luke 4, where he was tempted of the devil, on the mountain. Then, his teaching, the first teaching, what we call the Sermon on the on the Mount. And when God was going to show his glory to the disciples of Jesus, he was transfigured on a mountain. In Matthew 17. No, just pointing out one or two about the significance of mountains in theology. They show where God is. That makes sense? Mountains is where God acts is revealed. Things are known supernaturally on mountains. Abraham, Moses, Elijah knew three generations that will fulfill a single task. So the mountain is the place of the supernatural. When Samuel told Saul, he said, you will go to that mountain. You will see prophets. By the time Saul got there, the prophets were coming down from the mountain. And Saul joined them to prophesy. So, mountains are the place of prophecy, where we know things supernaturally. See, I'm on the mountain of the Lord. Come on, see, I'm on the mountain of the Lord. Yeah. So it's where God is seen, is a place of revelation. You want to know what God is saying today? Go up the mountain. Many Christians have stayed on the plain ground for too long. Move up high. Move up high. Go to where God is revealed. Go to where God is seen. Go to where instructions are best. Go to where convictions are strengthened. Go to the mountain of the Lord. Amen. So let's go to our main text. In Micah chapter 4, which is what we read in Isaiah before. But I want to read Micah's name. Micah chapter 4. Don't forget what Jesus said. Why we are doing all this one? Jesus said, in the resurrection, you will not need a mountain. What will you need? The Spirit. So, in the resurrection, it transposes the physical mountains where encounters are with the Spirit of God. That is, by the Spirit and in the Spirit, we can now have supernatural encounters. Without necessarily going to Moriah. Without necessarily going to Zion. Without necessarily going to Jerusalem or wherever. We can still have supernatural encounters, revelations, God seen, God heard, in and by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? That's where we are coming from. Micah chapter 4. So, can we listen. In this teaching now, can we switch mountains for spirit? Eh? Our father says, on this mountain is where worship ought to be. Then Jesus said, no. Yeah, that is true for Jacob. But the hour has come. Where mountains are not where God is seen. But where? He's seen in the spirit. So, can we switch mountains for spirit? Come on, can we switch mountains for the spirit? That means we can, when I was younger, we used to have this terrible church at the back of our house. Not our house, right in front of Pastor Bedu's house. I did go straight, yeah. But you know that terrible church, yeah. So, I had my friend, my neighbor was attending that church. I think you know that. Them too late. My neighbor was attending that church. So, they used to say something like, they enter the spirit. Oh, one way, you know. And it's very possible that you just laugh that off and say, But the truth is, we have the spirit, amen? But there are also experiences. I'm not saying you are entering the spirit, but you are going up the mountain. That means you are now taking that spirit that you have within and you are putting it
around you. So I can take the spirit within and then put it around me. For example, you sit on we seek. You have the spirit of God within. But the spirit of God within does not use the stick. It's the spirit of God among. So what do? I now put that spirit within, I bring it, and I manifest the spirit. So Paul called that the manifestation of the spirit is given to every man. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. It's given to every man. To profit with them. So I can profit and manifest the spirit. Manifest means to declare open. So, you will no longer need to go to this mountain. But you will worship God on this mountain, which is the Spirit. So, the Spirit of God becomes that mountain of the Lord. Where God is seen, where God is said. Can we have spectacular experiences by the Spirit? Come on. Can we have spectacular experiences by the Spirit? I can hear God and I can see God in and by the Spirit. It's not beyond me. It's not beyond me. I function optimally by the Spirit. I have seen eyes. I have hearing ears. My faculties are sharpened by the power of the Holy Ghost. I told you, I don't know, when I was growing up, I used to hear Pastor here, dear boy, and he just said, thank you, Father. I said, how is this man hearing God like this? But my faculties are sharpened. They are not dead. They are not redundant. I'm a man of the Spirit. So Jesus said, you will need mountains. Moses needed Horeb. You don't need. You don't need to stand before Oyoke Sapa. Oyoke Sapa. Oyoke Anu. Oyoke Abamoye. Oyoke Abye. You don't need all these ones. Don't worry. You don't need it. He says, you just go by the Spirit. So in the Spirit is the mountain of the Lord. Where God's fire is set. Where God's plan is known. Where deliverance is orchestrated. Like Horeb. Where the temple of God is. He's on the mountain of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So Micah chapter 4. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Micah chapter 4. Verse 1. In the last days, when you hear the last days, come on. When is the last days? When the 3 days given, right? Aha. The last days is not rapture. Last days is when the Holy Ghost is given. It's called the last days. The study of eschatology. Last days is when the Holy Ghost is given. So it did not start 2010 or 2020 with COVID. No, it started when the Holy Ghost was, when Jesus was on the dead. We now enter the last days. Can we mark out chapter 4 verse 1 to 2 together, everybody? Want to go? That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And the people shall flow. Shall we flow in this mountain? Shall we flow in this mountain? We flow in this mountain. We flow in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. We flow in this mountain. We are not rigid. You know? We are not ignorant. We are not ignorant. We flow in this mountain. He said, the mountain of the Lord will be exalted above every other mountain. The Spirit of the Lord will take supremacy over everything the devil is doing. We shall flow in this mountain. Amen. 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 On that day, in the last days, we are there. Amen. When the Holy Ghost is given, he says, the mountain of above every other mountain, it shall be exalted above the hills. And the people shall flow in it. And many nations shall come. Amen. This is where we receive this. Amen. And many nations shall come. And they will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. And to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways. And we will walk his path. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That is what we see on the mountain. The people will now walk up to him. And we say, what is happening here? Amen. Before we, you know how far we say this? Or we say, when the unbelieving one shall come? We will now say, truly the Lord is glorified among you. The people shall come, the nations shall come, to the mountain where we are flowing.
the people shall flow in this mountain. Amen. Amen. We are on the mountain of the Lord. You must learn to just switch. To just switch. You must practice it. Make a practice of it. You know, you are doing your normal stuff. And then you just switch. You are flowing in the mountain. Amen. We saw how much Moses enjoyed it. He always leaves Israel and go to the mountain. Where the Lord is said. Where the Lord is at. Where God's mind is known. You know, we can have that this morning. We can see and know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not caught off guard. You know, something happens to some people. And they say, I don't know what happened. What would I now do? No. We have information. We can see, we can know. Where the turn abounds this morning. He says, the mountain of the Lord will be exalted above every other hills. And the people shall flow in it. And everyone will flow in it. Everyone will flow in it. Everyone will flow in it. You know, Paul will now say, hey, when you come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26, every one of you has a psalm. Everybody has. Everybody can flow in it. Everybody has a psalm. You have a song. You have a tongue. You have a hymn. You have an interpretation. Everyone has. If you say you don't have a psalm, you are lying. If you say you don't have a tongue, you are lying. If you say you don't have an interpretation, you are lying. Everyone has. Amen. When you come together, in my name, I'm by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, every one of you has a psalm. Every one of you has a psalm. Everyone has something to give. Because we are on this mountain. Amen. So, no longer will you and your fathers go to the mountain to worship. On the resurrection, you will say, we have the Spirit. And the people shall flow in the Spirit. And the people shall flow in the Spirit. Drink of God's new wine. And the people shall flow in the Spirit. Ezekiel will say, and the water was ankle deep. He said, I said, what's this? It's ankle deep. He said, and it went to my knees. Anatomical landmarks. Hallelujah. It's going to my knees. He said, it goes to my hips. He said, till I was overwhelmed. We are flowing in it. We are flowing in it. We are flowing in it. If Elijah can hear God, I can. Moses can hear God, I can. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, Abraham heard God, and I will. I will, I will. I will. This morning, I see. This morning, I know. I flow in the things of the Spirit. Because they are my things. They are my things. I want to see what God is doing. I want to see what God is saying. I want to hear what God is saying. I will see and know things that are going to happen in coming months and coming years. Things that are happening in my ministry. Things that will happen. I will know what to do, where to go, what to say. By the Spirit, I'm on the mountain. So the people who flow in it, we are Christians. And by so saying, we are primarily supernatural. Born of God's word, born of the Spirit. Born on the mountain. Hallelujah. Born on the mountain. He says, and that last day, when the Spirit is given, people will no longer have to go to Horeb. They will no longer have to go to Sinai. Zion will be afterthought. They won't have to go and be looking for a mount of transfiguration. They will flow in the mountain of the Lord. What will be the result? All the nations shall come. All the nations shall come. As we flow in the Spirit. The nations are open. Nations are opened up. This morning we have supernatural songs. Supernatural songs. You know you can sing by the Spirit. You know you can have a psalm by the Spirit. Hallelujah. What's a psalm? A psalm is you're singing in the Spirit and then you give the interpretation. We have quite a number of that. Hallelujah. This morning we have psalms. This morning we have tongues. This morning we have interpretation. We are flowing in the mountain. The people are flowing in it. If you have never heard God before, if you have never flown in the thing of Spirit before, calm down. Calm down. You are told. Hallelujah. Yeah. When we are doing the thing of the Spirit, we are not doing strange things. We are not doing alien things. We are doing our thing. Hallelujah. We are showing our color. We are showing our nature. What's our nature? Our nature is for you to see. Amen. Amen. Our hands are the hands of Jesus. Our hands are healing hands. By the power of the Holy Ghost, our hands are healing hands. Pray for me as I close. The people shall flow in it. The people shall flow in it. You know what means to flow? It means to just keep going. Hallelujah. to just keep going. No, you just keep going. No stopping. No breaks. You're not going to press the brakes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just keep going. We just keep going. Because we are walking in our own. We are walking in our own. We are walking in our nature. We can heal the sick. No sicknesses will vamoose this morning. Sicknesses will disappear this morning. Confusion will disappear this morning. Oppression, depression will leave this morning. We are in the mountain of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We are in the mountain of the Lord. 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 His presence is strong. His presence is strong. We have tongues on this mountain. We have interpretation on this mountain. We have prophecy on this mountain. Men are going to be strengthened by my words. They are going to be comforted. They are going to be edified. The one who is confused will receive clarity. The one who is depressed will be encouraged. This morning, this is the mountain experience. The people start flowing in it. Hey! They just can't have the other. Lagos, the other boom, they are growing the Labriana Soka. Limbos, the Labriana goes to the Briana. Gilmos here. That dumb was the Eagle Abos of Briana Rush. Hajina said, you don't need mountains. Hey! You don't need mountains. You don't go to the mountains to be healed. You don't go to the mountains to be healed. Elijah had to refer Naaman to Jordan. He said, go and dip yourself in Jordan 7 times. Jesus said, you will not need that one again. The people shall flow in it. The people shall flow in it. Ceaselessly. 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 The people shall flow in it unrestrained. Unrestrained. No breaks. We just move by the power. We just move in the spirit. Like Moriah, we will see the Lord. We will see the Lord. So we can have supernatural experiences in the resurrection. The reality of the mountain is the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. And never tell yourself, I can't do it. Never tell yourself, everybody will not be looking at me. You are a man of God. You are a man full of the Holy Ghost. You should be in an exalted state right now. Hungry. Hungry to give the bread. Hungry enough to give life. Hungry enough to give direction. Hungry enough to give precision. Accuracy is yours. You know, this morning we can see 13 years to come. We can have information of 30 years. We can have names. We can have names. We can have names. We can see places. We can know dates. We can know dates. We are not dull. We are not dull. We are on the mountain of the Lord. Exalted above every other hill. We are flowing in it. Now, let's practice the word. Flow in it. That broken family is restored. That broken family is restored. That broken family is restored. The people shall flow in this mountain. Great things are happening now. Spirit things are happening now. Men are receiving a call to ministry. Self-joining in the power of God to walk on by His Spirit.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have about 5 minutes to go. We can have psalms. We can have songs. God can give you a song this morning. Sing it in our group. Learn it and sing it. Learn it and sing it. It's the melody of the Spirit. Nothing is happening to your eyes. Nothing is happening to your ears. You will be fine. Nothing is happening to your brain. Don't stop speaking in tongues. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. And the people shall flow in it. And the people shall flow in it. Don't stop. Don't stop. And the people shall flow in it. In the last days, and the people shall flow in the mountain of the Lord. The man of God will be exalted above.